The U.S. Navy has been operating in Hawaii waters since the early 19th century and has been testing military ordnance and sonar offshore for decades. But today it does so from a place of environmental concern that took a long time to realize. Alex Stone with the U.S. Pacific Fleet Environmental Readiness Division is the project manager for the Hawaii SoCal Testing and Training Environmental Impact Statement. It's a draft that's still under public review, and Alex described it for us.
This is an environmental impact statement that follows another one that we completed a few years ago in 2013. And the activities are important point I was trying to remind people is are the similar activities to what we've been doing in the waters around Hawaii for many decades.
Mm-hmm.
So this involves training our forces and testing new systems, but it's the same types of activities in the same areas.
In the course of that training, you're going to be setting off some explosive devices. You're going to be using sonar. Are those the kind of things whose impacts you're assessing?
Right. Yeah. So the environmental impact statement, it's a comprehensive science-based analysis of all of the impacts associated with testing and training. So we look at everything that could affect the environment during training and testing. The two primary stressors that we're of most concern are the use of active sonar and training and testing that involves live ordnance or explosives. Those are the two main areas that
Sure.
really are the focus of the analysis.
What's active sonar?
Yeah, active sonar, we make that distinction because when the Navy trains or uses sonar in real-world activities, a lot of times we're not actually putting sound in the water. A lot of our sonar activities are passive. So in other words, we're just listening for things. We're just trying to detect things passively without putting energy in the water. But we also use active sonar, and that involves pinging, like the type of thing that you may be familiar with, pinging with the sonar to try and locate objects in the water. That's the active part.
Mm-hmm. It's not that different from some marine animals do, right?
It's true, yeah. Many marine mammals rely on acoustic means of communicating and for their livelihood. Yeah, that's true.
What's the concern about the impacts of active sonar on them?
Yeah, well, the concern, and it's a lot of the impact analysis study in the EIS looks at the Navy's use of sonar affect marine mammals. And to kind of summarize the results of the environmental analysis is the vast majority of the types of impacts that would be expected from Navy sonar are changes to a marine mammal's behavior in a temporary way.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, the marine mammal may hear sonar and it could affect their behavior. The types of more serious types of impacts from sonar would occur only if the marine mammal was located very close to the sonar. And in that area, those areas where there could be a more serious type of impact, that's the area that we've developed mitigation measures to avoid those impacts.
Could they actually be physically hurt by a sound wave at close range?
If the marine mammal was very close to the sonar, yes, they could. And that's one of the reasons why we do the analysis and get the permit. But we establish safety zones around our activities like sonar for those areas close to where the sonar is, and we have lookouts that are trained to see marine mammals, and they're especially good at seeing marine mammals in that area close to where the ship is. And if we see marine mammals in that area, we would either power down the sonar or turn off the sonar completely.
When you talked about earlier, you made a reference to behavioral changes, not so much the really critical effects that we just discussed, but the behavioral changes. Is that a matter of a marine mammal that is used to communicating through this pinging, mistaking one of your sonar messages for some kind of signal from others of its kind?
The changes in behavior kind of span a spectrum of different types of changes in their behavior. You're right, like what you mentioned, that They could, a change in their behavior if they hear sonar is they could stop vocalizing. That would be a type of behavioral change. Or they could, change the direction that they're going or show an alert response. So there's a range of changes in behavior that, could be exhibited from them hearing the sonar. But again, these are all temporary changes in behavior that, would only last a certain finite amount of time.
What about the impacts of the use of military ordnance?
Yeah, also kind of similar to sonar, but even really more concentrated in the specific areas around the, where the explosive is being used. So absolutely concerned about serious impacts to marine mammals if they're very close to an explosion. So for that reason, we establish a safety zone around an explosion, and we survey the area with our lookouts and any other means we have of detecting marine mammals where we're going to do an explosive-type training event. And we don't do the explosive event until we're sure that there are not marine mammals close to where they're where the explosive test is going to be. The thing about the energy from the explosives is the energy doesn't propagate for a long distance, even though it's an explosive event that is, highly energetic. It doesn't have a large area, so the area that we clear is based on the size of the explosives, but the energy from explosions don't travel a great distance in the water.
So it's not likely to have an adverse impact much past the area that you've kind of sealed off, is what it sounds like.
Right, that's true. That's true. And because that area is relatively small, we feel like we can do a pretty good job making sure that there's not marine mammals in that area.
This degree of awareness of environmental impacts has, how recent is it? How long has this been developing? How did it take to get us to where we are now?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's I would say, it's evolved over time. I mean, certainly, a generation ago, 20, 30 years ago, that the Navy didn't have this comprehensive suite of mitigation measures that we have now, where we really look at every single one of our activities and do whatever we possibly can to minimize environmental impacts while we're testing and training. But I'd say over the last, between 10 or 15 years, we've developed mitigation measures. And we've developed, the thing that's really important about our mitigation measures is that they have to be practical. They have to work in a real-world sense on a very complicated environment of a Navy shipboard activity while there are so many other things going on. So that's one of the things we're really proud of, is that we've developed these mitigation measures. They're the same mitigation measures we use across the Navy, and they're really effective and practical. I'd say in the last few years.
It's a welcome change, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I would put the Navy's environmental stewardship right up there with any other organization, and I think it reflects the way the Navy is going, and also just the people that join the Navy, come with more of an environmental awareness and ethic than, in previous generations. So I think it's both because the Navy as an organization is going that way, and also the people that join the Navy, want to be proud of the environmental protection that they are able to do while they're out there doing their jobs.
Alex Stone is the senior environmental planner for the U.S. Pacific Fleet and is overseeing the Hawaii Southern California Training and Testing Environmental Impact Statement for the Navy. The draft EIS is available for public review through December 12th, and you can learn how to make your voice heard via our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.